And so we give thanks and praise for today, the sixth Sunday, Palm Sunday today. And it begins a holy week on such a day as this. The Gospels record that Jesus went on his way to Jerusalem. And when he reached the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent his disciples ahead to go and fetch the colt that was prepared, that no man had ever ridden on before. And when they brought it, they spread their cloaks on it, and they sat Jesus on it. And as he went along, then the people, there was a huge crowd, and they spread their cloaks, and those that didn't have any cloak, they went and they cut branches of the trees, and they spread it down in the path for him to ride over. And this was a fulfillment of the prophecy from Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9, say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gently riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. This is also a symbolic of kingship and peace. For example, we saw this in Solomon when he rode into Jerusalem for his coronation, and he rode on his forefather's donkey. Spreading the cloaks was also associated with kingship, and we see that as an example in 2 Kings chapter 9, where the people spread their cloaks on the steps because Jehu was being crowned. He was being anointed as the king of Israel. So these are all symbolic things still being acted out. And so as Jesus rode along, the crowd cried, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They had accepted Jesus as their king. And there was great rejoicing, great singing and great dancing. Can you imagine the atmosphere of that place? The king come riding on a donkey. The king is here. They had no inkling of the sacrificial journey that Jesus was on. His journey through Jerusalem was purposeful, undeterred, was focused, it was resolute. And Isaiah 50 tells us, the sovereign Lord has given me an instructed tongue to know the word that sustains the weary. How precious. Jesus said to his disciples that every word that the Father asks him to say, he has said it. Remember the Spirit of the Father being omnipresent in so many different places at the same time, lived in Jesus, constantly edifying him. And yes, Jesus was God in human flesh, but he was also human. Flesh and blood. And so the Spirit of God instructed him what to say so he could give comfort, hope, guidance to the weary and to the despondent. For example, the law, the Old Testament, taught an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But Jesus brought a new dispensation. He said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Love and pray for your enemies. Forgive, so that your Father in heaven may also forgive you. These were new. And Isaiah tells us that morning by morning, he was listening to the words of his Father, of the things he should do that day, the faces he would see, the places he would go, continually guiding him, continually instructing him. And we receive things from the Holy Spirit and the prophets, and those of old and those that are called to be prophets now, we receive things, but it's not constant. But with Jesus, he was constantly guiding, it was second nature, learning him, directing him, teaching his flesh, guiding the man side of him to do the Father's will. And therefore, he was also fully aware of the brutality and the pain that that he would have to endure. Nevertheless, verse 5 says, he was not rebellious and he did not draw back. He did not resist or refuse to fulfill the Father's plan to rescue mankind. He came to earth purposefully because of his great love, because of the Father's great love, to sacrifice his life, to redeem Adam's fallen race so we can have salvation, that it can be full, total, and free to all. So totally holy, totally righteous and obedient. Only Jesus' blood was good enough. Only he was perfect. Only his blood could wash away our sins before the holy Lord God Almighty, once and for all, and for all of mankind. So, Bible tells us he allowed himself to be spat on, his beard to be pulled. Imagine your beard being pulled out, mocked and jeered, beaten, humiliated in every way, and a crown of thorns pressed down on his head. But he did not allow himself to feel disgraced, because it was God's plan of salvation. So the word tells us that he set his face like a flint so he could endure the agony. He was not going to let anything or anyone stop him. You know, many times we go through so many problems, and there are times that we feel, you know, we've got to stop here. We feel like we've got to give up. We can't go on. But even if Jesus reached that point, the Father's will, the Father's love beckoned him, drove him on to complete the assignment. He felt the Father's love for humanity. He saw the lost and blind leaders of the blind. So far away from God and heading to destruction we were. So he could not and would not give up on us. And even some of those who threw their cloaks in the way as he rode on his cart, and even those that cried Hosanna, some of them now readily cried, crucify him, crucify him. He was just betrayed. He went through so much pain and agony and emotions of every description. But he knew the Lord helped him and strengthened him so he could endure to the end. And we read in Isaiah 53, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. The Father's great love for us was the sacrificial offering of his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ. And so in Philippians 2, Paul wrote to the saints in Christ there to walk with that same humility of Jesus. He said they should have the same attitude. Jesus spent his life on earth showing us how to live our lives in a way that is acceptable to the Lord our God. To live a life of example that showed the believers that Christ Jesus lives in us. The Holy Spirit lives in the form of the Holy Spirit, and that we are doing the things that he did, and that which he expects us to do. And I wonder how many times we're able to do this, do the Father's will. Jesus was man, but he was also God. Yes, he did not regard his deity, his sovereignty. He humbled himself. He was God. But there he was as man on earth, taking the very nature of a servant. Not my will, he said to his father as he hung on the cross, but your will be done. He said, if it was possible, because it was so much, let the cup pass from him. Nevertheless, let God's will be done. How often can we, and how often do we say that? And he did not ride in chariots to the various places he went. He walked as people did. He ate with them. He washed their feet. He knelt down and healed the eyes of the blind man. And you remember the story of the Syrophoenician woman when she came to ask Jesus to heal her daughter. Jesus said, no, it's not good. It's not right that I should take the children's bread and give it to the dogs, because he came to the people of Israel first. But she had heard about Jesus and all the good works that he had done. Only a godly person with real love would be able to do all that he did. She had a need and she had the faith. She said, yes, Master, it is true. But even the dogs eat the scraps that falls from the table. So yes, she was not a Jewish person. Her religion was different. She may have looked different. But because of his kindness, his sympathy, his empathy, his compassion and mercy, surely he would look beyond all her faults and see her needs. Because of her faith in him, Jesus healed her daughter. She came to him because she heard how much he loved and cared. And maybe because of this encounter, her and her whole family later came to know and accept Jesus as their personal savior. Who knows? But it's a strong possibility, I think. And as you read Philippians 2, you will see that Paul was encouraging the saints not to be selfish and only look after their own interest. He said, look after the needs of the others also. Jesus sacrificed his life for the sins of the whole world. He humbled himself and was obedient even unto the death of the cross. Therefore, the word tells us that God gave him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So whether in this life or in the next, every knee must bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. And it is Jehovah's will that everyone of every description for every walk of life be treated with mercy and love, kindness and forgiveness. That we therefore continue to help those that are in need. We may not be able to be a missionary and travel far and wide, but we can support them with our prayers and with funding as they spread the knowledge and the works of Jesus Christ. I'm sure you can all remember someone who did good works and helped others in your life or in history. There are so many. And many of her world leaders, many actors and actresses, they have their own charities and all these things that they do to help the community and to help the world. And we remember of Oskar Schindler, I'm sure you all heard. He was a Nazi and a German spy. But when he witnessed the abuse and the liquidation of the Jewish people, he saw and realized how wrong it was, and he decided to help them. He saved the lives of over 1,100 people. And what of Maria Fearing? She grew up as a house slave on a plantation in Alabama for 30 years, and after slavery was abolished, she learned to read and write, and at the age of 33, she qualified as a teacher. And at the age of 56 years old, she went to Africa as a missionary And there she translated the Bible into their local language, and she founded a home for girls. But on that journey, can you imagine the difficulties that this lady must have endured and encountered? But she persisted because the love of Christ was in her heart. And what of Fanny Crosby? You know her well. She was blind from a baby. She worked as a missionary in the local areas. And she learned to play many musical instruments, apparently, and wrote, and I don't know if it's right, but it says that I read it, she wrote over 8,000 hymns. I'm sure it must be 800. Now that's an awful lot, I go in. Such as Blessed Assurance, and To God Be the Glory. Her songs are a great comfort to many and preach the message of the cross. And so through the days of this Holy Week, let us be fully aware that Jesus died and rose from the dead, that we might have life everlasting. Let us reflect on his journey to the cross. It was because of love. So let us draw nearer to him in love. Let us put away all the things that cause us to slip and slide, and call on his name. Amen.